Tis the season. The holidays are here, and you're probably thinking of what to buy your significant other, close friends and family. You want to get them that baller gift. And you may, just maybe, be thinking about purchasing a smartwatch. Maybe it's an Apple Watch, maybe it's a Fitbit, maybe it's a Moto Watch, maybe it's a Pebble. We're at an interesting time with smartwatches. They're available, they have certain functionality, they can do cool things. But smartwatches, they mean something else to me, thanks to the Internet of Things. These devices that we slap on our wrists, they can aggregate so much information about you as a person. And taking privacy concerns out of the equation for a second, this information could do a lot of things for human society. But there is a growing problem emerging with our love of smartwatches. We don't love them so much. So this week, we're going to talk about smartwatches and the Internet of Things. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is Sourcecast, episode 51. Before we get to our main story, let's discuss the acquisitions that have taken place over the last 8 days. SUSE Linux has acquired Hewlett-Packard Enterprise's OpenStack Cloud Technology and Talent. SUSE is acquiring Cloud Foundry Platform as a Service Technology and its SAF from Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. The deal was announced on November 30th. Financial terms of the acquisition are not being publicly disclosed, and the deal is set to close in the first quarter of 2017. So here is another Hewlett-Packard Enterprise asset that is being sold off. This is a company that has talked up their hybrid cloud. Okay, so they're not focused on providing full cloud solutions with hosting to their customers, but they have been talking up how they have these hybrid Helix solutions and it could do all these wonderful things. And basically, open source has been the backbone of this solution since it theoretically works on everything. There's another piece of control out of Hewlett-Packard's hands. I know I shouldn't be, but Hewlett-Packard continues to surprise me with their decisions. Twitter bought a company, but it was a small one. It was called Yes, Inc. There's only 7 people that worked in this mobile startup. Yes, Inc. built a variety of applications that helped people connect with technology. I'm using air quotes. This really seems more of an acqui-hire. It seems that Twitter really wanted Keith Coleman to step in as the new VP of Twitter product. So congratulations to the company. And in a bit of news that inspired this week's podcast, Fitbit is purchasing smartwatch maker Pebble for about $40 million. Pebble was the maker of somewhat agnostic, multi-platform smartwatches. While the products were generally in black and white, they were well-regarded for their quality and multifunctional use. An interesting note is that the company looked to purchase Pebble in 2015 for $740 million, and the company CEO refused to sell. And that is a perfect segue into the main story. So smartwatches. Let's look at smartwatches from the major theme of this podcast. I talk about cloud, I talk about artificial intelligence, and I talk about big data. Smartwatches provide an invaluable amount of data, health data, to the manufacturers and the people who design these products. At this point, the data that these devices are collecting is being underutilized. Forward-thinking developers know that there's value in this data. They know that there is going to be good things to come, but we're not quite there yet. Let me paint a picture for you. I wear a smartwatch. And on the smartwatch, I constantly check it for the amount of steps that I walk in a day, my heart rate, and how well I'm sleeping. Those are the 3 major things that I use and expect from this smartwatch. It's why I bought it. I have every expectation that this data has been anonymized and is being filtered up to some cloud, and there's some generic profile of me as a human being that is being compared and measured against other people. And this data, in theory, should provide a baseline of metrics of what a healthy person's biorhythm should be. How much they're sleeping, how many steps they're getting in a given day, et cetera, et cetera. That information could be used by doctors. Let's say that I can get this information that I've been collecting for well over a year and provide that information to my doctor. And let's say one day I get sick or develop cancer, and that information could be cross-referenced with every other patient that has this information and that may have cancer, and they could, in theory, help develop better baseline or measurement for cancer risk and potential treatment. This is the value of Internet of Things. So whether you have a smartwatch, smart sneakers, a smart bed, there's information that's being collected, and it should be shared, again, on an anonymous level, into a more centralized server to help determine trends and baselines to help people get more healthy. This is one of the few situations where you see true potential societal change because of a very inexpensive device. But it has to be harnessed, it has to be used the right way, blah, 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 blah. So what does this have to do with a smartwatch manufacturer going out of business. Simply put, there's less options. So now we're going to get into a bit of a consumer rant. The device that I have on my wrist right now is a Fitbit. It's a Fitbit HR Charge. It's small, it's light. 90% of the time, I barely realize that it's on my wrist. And I like that. Historically, I have never worn a watch. I have my phone to tell me what time it is. This particular Fitbit does have a very small screen that provides the time, the amount of steps, and heart rate. And it also tells you who's calling you if you have it connected to your Bluetooth. I also happen to own another smartwatch. It's a Motorola watch. It's one of those round ones. It has a really nice band, and I never wear it. It also provides certain health data. It counts your steps, but it's bigger. It doesn't last a whole day with a charge, and it's more expensive, so I'm worried about doing things like working out with it. I don't wear it when I work out, even though it theoretically would have tracking for that. The Motorola watch does more things. It'll show me an entire text or instant message. It'll give me better alerts. It'll tell me events on my calendar, but I don't like to wear it. I don't need those other alerts. I have my phone for that. I'd much rather take my phone out of my pocket and look something up if I wanted that level of information. So it begs the question, what is the function of a smartwatch? And this is the concern of why these companies are going out of business. This unbeloved Motorola watch that I have, it could be a rarity because Motorola just announced that they're not making any more smartwatches in the foreseeable future. I don't think that the user experience on my Motorola watch is much different than the Apple Watch. I don't want either thing on my wrist. It's just a distraction. The thing that I liked about Pebble is that they were simple, black and white, minimalistic views. They weren't distracting, but they provided a little bit more information than what the Fitbit provided. They offered a product that I legitimately considered purchasing. So Motorola is not making their watch anymore. Pebble's clearly going out of business. Maybe they'll continue to sell the products. I'm not sure what Fitbit's going to do. And the thing about Fitbit that I should mention as an actual user of their products, this HR Charge that I have on my wrist right now that I'm looking at, this is the fourth one that I've received from the company. Great customer service. Almost too good. Whenever I've had a problem with this watch in the last year that I've had it, they have sent me a replacement and they tell me to throw the old one in the trash. I really felt like this was wasteful. And in two of the cases, after they told me to throw it out, I actually figured out how to fix them. It was a really complicated and convoluted process involving putting cables in and pulling them out and tapping things in certain sequences. But I fixed the damn thing. I could understand how difficult it would be for someone on the phone to explain how to do this reset. And maybe it's cheaper and easier to just send someone a new one. But these things go for over $100, and I'm on my fourth one. That can't be good for the company's bottom line. Good enough to buy Pebble, but Fitbit was hurting financially too last year. You may be wondering why I care so much and why I want people to have smartwatches. And so we're clear, I want everyone to have a medical tracking device. If you want to call it a smartwatch, I don't care if it's a smartwatch. It doesn't have to be some elaborate device. But I want people to have that medical tracking. I want that information being captured and provided to some well-meaning centralized system that can actually use the data to benefit humanity. I think this is actually an important trend, and more data means better outcomes. So when a company like Pebble gets bought, and when Motorola stops making smartwatches, that means less choice. Less choice means less innovation, and it also means that the data sources are centralized to one place, and one company will have more control over who has access to that data. And that's bad for this medical utopia that I'm trying to create in your heads. I'll close out this conversation with this. For me, for a medical tracking device or smartwatch, the ideal smartwatch is light. It gives me basic information, like the number of steps, the time, who's calling me, maybe a little bit of text information. And the killer, the absolute desirable feature, would be the ability to switch to the next song with a flick of the wrist, so you don't have to go fishing around on the phone or on the headphones. So light, not obnoxious, not distracting, and a little bit of text alerts and small doses and a little bit of controls. And as I talk about these Fitbit devices, they truly do motivate me to get up and move. I want to make sure that I hit my 10,000 steps every day. Usually I like to hit those 10,000 steps before 10 a.m. I like to go for long walks in the morning. I listen to my podcasts and my audiobooks, and it gives me ideas for this podcast that you're listening to. Buy into the gamification, use the devices, get out, move, walk. It's good for you. And before we wrap up, I have a request to you, my listeners. If you're enjoying this podcast, tell your friends, have them subscribe, or if they're wondering how to find it, they can go to Twitter at Joey Lombardi, and you can follow the links to the podcast. Tell your friends. We'll call this my December marketing campaign. And that's all we have for this week. As a reminder, you can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mantua, New Jersey, and is produced and recorded by me. Music has been provided by Google. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.